How many of y'all miss Lisa this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Somebody needs to make sure. Y'all make sure you tell her now, because I'm going to tell you, music is a very, very vital part of worship. Amen. We don't have to have it, but it sure is nice when you do have it.
Bob didn't bring his guitar.
Bob didn't bring his guitar. Amen. Lisa's so committed, and she's always here, so you know she didn't feel good. I want us to go to the book of John this morning. Been praying concerning direction for our church, as I always do, and ask the Lord to guide and direct us in our new season, because I believe that we're beginning to enter a season of influence. We're beginning to enter into a season of influence. I want you to write that down or put it in your mind, because that's going to be a theme for the next several weeks, is that God is showing us to go into a season of influence. You know, when he told the disciples to go into the world and spread the gospel to everyone and influence those people and tell them the truth. And that message, we call it the Great Commission, is still relevant today. And God, we know that we live in a different time and a different age, but still the message is the same. That we have an obligation to be an influence. Every one of you have an obligation. Every one of us have an obligation to be an influence. And my prayer has been, Lord, teach us to do that. And I've been doing a lot of research of secular companies, churches, different things. And it seems that you see some that are just really growing, some not really doing a whole lot. And you ask the question, why? What's the difference? So I just began to do some research. Companies like Apple, they're just a typical computer company, but they're just growing by leaps and bounds. What makes them different? People like Martin Luther King, what made him different than any others? Because certainly there was other people preaching what he was preaching. And then on Orville Wright and those guys back in the time of self-powered aviation, they certainly were other ones trying to get there, but they excelled. And when you see all these people doing all these things, and you begin to research it, because I really want God to speak to me and say, Lord, what's the key? There's a common denominator. And that common denominator is what I want to focus on the next several weeks and share the information that I've learned and that I've gained with you, so that we can be what God wants us to be. We're not going to be what he wants us to be just by just hoping that it'll happen. God has a plan, and God's going to put that plan in place. But I want you to understand, God operates in seasons. Just like now, the season's going to change, thank God, to fall. And now we're going to go through a season of influence, because I want you to understand that this last day harvest is not catching God by surprise. All these things going on in the world is not by surprise to God. He's aware of that, but also he's made it available to us to be effective in this last day. And I want us to be effective. And God's going to teach us how to do that. So I want to talk on the word do today, D-O, do. I want to preach on the word do. And out of that, I want you to ask yourself, what's your motivation? What's your motivation? Because as I studied and researched all these different companies and all these different things that people have accomplished, what's different, what makes them different than anybody else is their motivation. And so I want you to ask yourself a question. What are you motivated to do? What is your motivation? Now, I know we're going to laugh a little bit and say, I'm not motivated to do anything, okay? Well, if you're not, you're not going to accomplish anything, right? So what is your motivation? So I want us to go a couple of scriptures that we're going to talk about this morning. Very familiar to you, but there's some truth in it. John chapter 13, verse 27, of course, is the famous scripture here where Jesus is at the Last Supper and he's talking to the disciples. To me, it's one of the saddest opportunities, the saddest parts in the Bible other than Samson, is here's a man sitting in the very presence of God, has demonstrated, has watched him perform and knew he was God, but he made a wrong decision. And look what it says here. I'm not going to take time to read all that to you because a lot of you are very familiar with that. But I just want to pull out verse 27. And this is sad here. It says, then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Talking about Judas. Satan entered into him, and Jesus said unto him, what you're going to do, do quickly. What you're going to do, do quickly. Very, very sad commentary here of a man who had all opportunity, because up until this last point right here, Satan had not entered into him, so evidently he was still struggling with decisions. And as he stood there, or sat there with Jesus around this table, knowing that he was contemplating selling him out for selfish gain, he made a decision. He made a decision, and that was to sell Christ out for 30 measly pieces of silver, and you know the story. So look what it said there. What you're going to do, underline the little word do, do it quickly. Do is an action word. What are you doing? What is your motivation? Three questions I want to ask you as we go through this series over the next couple of weeks. Right now, what's your motivation? What are you motivated to do? What is the major sphere of your influence today? Because I want to challenge you that every one of us are challenged by God and His authority and the Word to share His message with everyone we come around. Every one of us are challenged to make a difference everywhere we go. The way we're going to build this church and the way we're going to be what God will have us to be is it's not going to be some campaign that we put on here, but it's going to be our everyday life making a difference where we go and letting people see Jesus in us. I know that's simple. I know that's just, you know, we want a quick fix. We just want to ride through the drive-thru and everything just happened. But every one of us today have a responsibility to make a difference. Judas had a tremendous opportunity to be a part of the 12. To be an influence, to let people know he is real, but his self got in the way and just really messed his mind up, and he sold Christ out. So what's your motivation? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? And if you're not writing this down, I pray God will put it back in your mind. You'll remember it, because you know we have a tendency, well, if I can't remember it, so I'm not responsible. But you're responsible today. Why do we do what we do? And what is our effectiveness in our influence? How effective is our influence? Because if we're going to build this church, and why I'd build the church, what's the purpose of the church? God established the church to be an organization, to be a place where fellow believers can come together and learn and study His Word and be fueled up so that when we went back out to the world, we could spread the gospel. That's what church is about. Church is not about inward, it's all about outward. It's about coming in and receiving from the gifts that God has gifted men and women to do, and then we learn from His Word and we take that knowledge and we go out. There's a tremendous strength. You know what? It doesn't matter to me how many people are here on Sunday. It's a tremendous strength to me to be able to come. Amen? It's a tremendous strength to be able to come and fellowship with like believers and just say hey to one another and hug necks, shake hands and all that stuff, because it's something energetic about it that you feel like that I can go out now because I belong. We do belong. We're part of a tremendous, tremendous family, and that's the family of God. And God has called us to Northview Church to make a difference in the world, and you are Northview Church. This building is not Northview Church. You can tear the sign down and make it a skating ring or whatever. What makes this place effective is you and me being in here. Amen? Amen. So I want you to understand that God is calling us. Judas represents a lost heart. Judas represents a misused opportunity. Man, as I've been studying this, I just sat down and pondered about Judas on and on again, thinking there he was. He touched him. He could see him. He knew he was real. But he allowed himself, and you know the story that what happened to Judas. That is so sad. And I want to tell you something. He was in the presence of God. You got to get this. And never saw him. You see, let me just talk to you a little bit this morning. Get another cup of coffee. Let's talk. I have a tremendous responsibility. I don't take my job lightly here. I make sure that I search His Word because I realize that every minute I stand behind this place is sacred. And when I say something, I want to make sure it's God. Because these are critical hours. These are critical hours. Any day now, the Lord could come. And I want every one of us to be ready. I don't want to get caught up in all the things. I don't want to get caught up in the way things are today. I want you to be able to see Him. And it's important to me that you hear what God is saying. God is saying, I need you in this last hour. I'm going to put you, listen to this, I'm going to put you among circle of friends and influence of people, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to reach out and touch them. Every one of you. Well, I don't know nobody. He'll bring somebody in you don't have to know, okay? So names is irrelevant. Names is irrelevant. It's being in the right place at the right time and saying, God, use me today. I want you to use me today because I believe in what you believe in. Well, I want to tell you, I can't hardly wait. I'm getting ahead of the cart here. But I got something. When I've been doing this research and I began to research about Apple, and I thought, what makes them different than Dell? What makes them different than Gateway? What makes them? And I do all that research and I found out some things that I want to share with you that makes them a number one company today. And I want to tell you, if it can happen in the business world, it can happen here. And you know what it simply boils down? Believing in what you do. Believing that what you do makes a difference. And when we believe that Northview has the possibility to make a difference, and we really believe that, we're going to tell somebody. We're going to run into people who don't go to church anywhere, and we're going to believe them. We're going to believe in Northview enough to say, you know what? I know a church you can come to. Amen? And so, Judas, listen to this. The power of pride, you got to get this, destroys motivation. The power of pride destroys motivation. Jesus sitting there, Judas is sitting there. Judas is around all the other disciples. He's seen the miracles. He saw the bread. He saw the fishes. He saw all that. But pride gets in the way and says, yeah, but you know, those 30 pieces of silver could really... And you know what? When I begin to research this, it really wasn't even about the money. It was about influence. I will be the one who brings Jesus down, and my name will be made great. You see that? You think that was a lie of the devil? You know what? What does the Bible say? Pride goes before what? A fall. So in other words, pride and fall go together. So if I begin to let pride come into my life and rise up within me, and every one of us have to deal with it, guess what's the next step for me? When I don't have time to do things for God, when I don't have time to pray anymore, when I don't have time to do anything anymore, guess what the next step is for me? And we don't have time to build the church because we're busy with everything else. We don't have time to pray anymore because, you know, God's blessed us now and we got a little bit more than we used to have. When we didn't have a whole lot, we prayed more, but now He's just blessed us with so much. And we just don't have time anymore. Am I preaching truth this morning? But always remember, pride, and fall. Same package deal. I feel his anointing here this morning. God is going to make a difference in Northview. God, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't waste your time. And I certainly wouldn't waste my time, because time is the greatest gift we have. I was in prayer the other day. You know, the Lord spoke to me, and I tell you how he does me a lot of times. Some people at work sometimes ask you, well, how do you get a sermon? I say, sometimes it comes in a word. Sometimes it comes in a sentence. Sometimes whatever, but I just build on it. When you finally see me up here preaching, it's from probably a lot of months that's gone by that me and the Lord's been talking, because I've been trying to get it all together. And I want you to understand today that God has called us, every one of us, to make a difference, to make an influence. So look here. God has commissioned us. The Great Commission was not just the thought. The Great Commission was not say, hey guys, if you don't have anything else to do on Friday night, go out and win people to the Lord. And we all got a bunch of excuses why we can't do that, don't we? And Judas is sitting there in the midst of the presence of God. And he says, man, if I do this, I'll be great. Everybody, when I walk down the road, everybody's going to shake my hand. Everybody's going to say, he's the one who brought Jesus down. Do you see the mindset of this man? How many of you know there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world today, and he don't want you thinking about God? All right. That was the first thing. Then the Lord carried me to Mary and Martha. So go with me to the book of Luke. Go into the book of Luke. Remember these three questions. What's your motivation? Why do you do what you do? Why'd you come here this morning? Well, it's the right thing to do. Yeah. But why'd you come here? Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? And what's the effectiveness of your influence? How effective are you? Now, I guarantee you right now, every one of you know 5 to 10 people who don't go to church nowhere. I believe you do. 5 to 10 people don't go to church anywhere. Think about it. If you really think hard, 3 to 5 people you know. What are you doing about getting them in church? Y'all didn't know y'all were going to get this on Sunday morning, did you? Can I preach you the truth this morning? Can I just tell you what God wants me to tell you? Jesus was telling these disciples, go and teach and go and preach. And Judas sitting there listening to all of it. But he got wrapped up in himself. I say, okay, God, I get it now. And then he carried me to Mary and Martha. So I want us to go to Mary and Martha, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Judas represented a lost heart. Martha represents doing the right thing in the wrong way. Martha represents going through the motions. Man. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in what? Truth. Truth. What is that? What is that? That truth means real. Truth means I have a relationship with God. I love him. I worship him because I love him. Amen. I come to church so that I can learn more about him. I come to church so that I can be educated and trained, that I can be take my gifts and edify my gifts and work with my gifts. That's what the church is all about, having gifts stirred up in us so that we can take that gift and go into the world, to go into those 5 to 10 people we don't know and be able to influence them in such a way that they want to come to church. So he goes to Mary and Martha. Now this is another unique story, because Mary and Martha knew who he was, and they loved him, and he did love them. When you read about the stories of Christ going through, very few houses did he go into, but he went into their house to rest and to eat a good meal and to fellowship with them. So it says here now in verse 38, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And that's a good woman. I want you to, Jesus, I know you're tired. I know you're weary. Come on over to our house. We're going to fellowship. So she had a good heart. Wasn't like she's a bad person. I believe when Jesus called Judas out, Judas wasn't a bad person. He just misused his opportunities. There's none of us in here that are bad people. There's really not bad people in the world. They just end up being bad because they used the wrong opportunities. You believe that? So he said, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. I want you to get to the point when you study the Bible, you go slow. Okay? Go slow and digest it, everything. He says, and listen to him teach. So here's one, invites him to come in. That's good. That sounds good. The other sister understands that relationship with him is about worship. Work comes out of our worship. We do what we do out of worship to him. Do we get that? We do what we do out of worship to him. I love him enough that I want to serve him. Judas wanted what people thought. Judas wanted to be recognized among the people. But you'll never change people being like people. You'll change people when you become like him. Now, look at verse 40. This all sounds like a beautiful story so far, doesn't it? Come on in, Jesus. I know you're tired. We're gonna cook up something tonight. We're gonna have a good time. Come on in here. The next episode, her sister's worshiping him. She recognized he is in my house. The Son of God is in my house. Amen. We ought to worship him in Northview because he's in the house. Amen. Jesus is here. We glorify him. We honor him today because he's here. You don't have to be ashamed to raise your hand. You don't have to be ashamed to call out and say, thank you, Lord, because I'm going to tell you, he's worthy of our praise. Jesus is in the house. He's come in here. Amen. But I love the Bible. Look at the next word, but. That changes everything. That changes everything.
She's going so good.
I've been missing her. But Martha. Now, this is just a atmosphere of praise. The Son of God is sitting in your living room watching the game or whatever. I don't know what it is. But he's in there. And here comes Martha. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha represents doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. Look what it says. And she went to him and said, this is so good. Give me about 30 or 40 more minutes, okay? Invites the man in her house. We're going to have a good meal. Want you to come. Now she's mad at it. Now she goes off on Jesus. Can you imagine going off on Jesus? Jesus, I got something I'm going to tell you. Amen.
That's the woman coming
out. I ain't going to go there now. I've lived almost 60 years. I want to live 60 more. Amen. And she went up to him. Look. This is good right here. Now, the Son of God is in there and worship is going on and Martha's over there just boiling. And the word says she went to him. You know, be careful, men, when a woman starts coming your way. You fix, somebody's, well. Help me, Jesus. And she went up to him and said, Lord. So she recognized him as Lord. Don't you care? The poor man, all he's done is come in the house. And you're all, what? Don't you care? She had a little attitude there. You know how you women, I ain't going to say it. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Oh, my Lord. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Just do what God's called you to do. Amen. Don't worry about if Joe Doe beside of you is not doing nothing, because he's not going to get the blessing you're going to get. But she's invited. She invited. Mary didn't go invite her. She invited. Come into my house. So when he gets in the house and he's not even got set down good, she's mad now because Mary's over there worshiping. And she's got all this preparing to do. And this is good. I got to hurry up. Y'all, it's hard doing what I do, because I want to tell you so much. Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell that woman over there to come help me. Jesus standing there. Oh, Lord. But the Lord said to her, he's good, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Men, you need to remember that. When your wife goes off on you, say, honey, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And really, he's telling the truth. Because she's wrapped all up in herself. Do you see that? Doing the right thing in a wrong way. What are you going to do with influence? Now, Jesus come in her house. She's got an opportunity to worship him and serve him. You and I have an opportunity every day to worship and serve our God in how we live in the community. Every day. Look, this is here. I got to give you this and then we're going to go. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. Now, my Bible's written in red. What that means is when it's written in red, that's actually the translation. That's actually what Jesus said. No translation added. It says, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Martha, you got a good heart and you're trying everything your best to do it the right way, but you've missed it. Look, it says, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Mary, basically what he's saying is, Mary is doing the right thing in the right way. She's worshiping me. And Martha, you've allowed the situation to change. And let me give you this real quick. Can you give me 5 more minutes? What is the motivation here? The motivation is the presence of God. You and I need the presence of God more today than we've ever needed. People go to church every Sunday and half of them don't listen. Half of them don't even know what the preacher said. You want to know why? They don't need him right now. But somewhere down life's road, you're going to need him. And you're going to pay attention then what's going on. That's right. Someday you're going to need him. But I want to tell you, I've learned in the good times, praise his name. In the bad times, do the same. Because I've learned I need him every day. Amen. And Martha here, her motivation is the presence of God. And here's our motivation. Write this down. To affect others with positive change. And you and I know we all work in negative environments. We live in negative environments. And you hear negative all day long. If you don't have nothing to say, turn around and walk away, but don't get involved in the negative. Martha here is wrapped up in the negative. Get this here. Her external behavior began to destroy her influence. Her external behavior began to destroy her influence. Why don't people invite people to church? Y'all gonna love me when I give you this answer? Still gonna love me? Yeah. Two of you gonna love me. I appreciate it. People don't invite people to church because they don't want to. They don't want to. People don't invite. Now, if you're an inviter, thank God for you. But you know why? Because we're wrapped up in ourselves. Man, I don't have time to think about nobody else. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I just got a big old water bill. I just got a big old light bill. I just got, you know, I got all this stuff on me, and you want me to. Does that sound like Martha? Every one of us have a golden opportunity, and there's enough people who don't go to church in Goldsboro, North Carolina. I come by, you know, you go by different places and you see the liquor joints filled, and you know, used to you didn't see that on Sunday, but they've changed that now. But we need to let people know, hey, what you really need is Jesus. And you know how they're going to do that? They're going to do it by our external behavior. Internal comes out through the external. Martha, how she treated Mary, destroyed her influence. She judged Mary. Martha wanted to be in total control. She wanted Jesus. Now get this. She wanted Jesus, but on her terms. She wanted Jesus. Lord, I want to serve you, but I want to serve it on my terms. I want to do something for the church, but I want to do it on my terms. All right? Her pride. She lost influence because of her pride. Let me give you a couple of things that Mary's pride cost her. She lost her focus. Jesus in the room, she didn't even see him. She was self-absorbed. That nobody works harder than me. You ever worked around anybody like that? I work adult people, but sometimes I wonder if it's a daycare because they work harder than anybody else. That's what she was. She was self-absorbed. She was angry. She was mad. And went to Jesus' face. She had resentment. That was her sister, her flesh and blood. She had resentment. She was jealous. She had distrust. And boy, this is a bad one. She was critical. She was unkind. She was so unkind that she attacked Jesus. And she said, Jesus, don't you care? Because you need to be thinking about me. I'm preaching this message to you today, and I pray that you understand that this is from God's Word, and He's talking to us. If you wait for situations to be perfect, you'll never make a difference in nobody's life. But we have an opportunity to invite people to come to our church. Now, we need a lot of things here at our church. We need more singers. We need more workers. But what I'm believing God for is to give me wisdom to know how to organize what we got and start putting it together, and then we just add to it. We need nursery workers. Let's begin to pray that God will send nursery workers. We need young families here. We need young families with children here. We need them here, don't we? We need more senior citizens. We need more middle-aged people. We need everybody that God wants us to have. And what we got to say is, Lord, how can I make a difference in that? How can I make a difference in that? And I'm going to close right now. But she attacked Jesus and said, you don't care. And I want to tell you, Jesus cares. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning, and I'm going to close this time. But I'm so full with this new series, The Season of Influence. And I want you to begin to ask yourself the question, what difference am I really making? What difference am I really making? Thank you for coming to church. Coming to church is a big part of it, and I thank you for that. But how many of you know there's a lot more to it than that? Serving God's a 7-day week job, isn't it? Somebody needs you. It's not a matter of just influence. Somebody needs you. He was there too,
wasn't he? He's always there.
He was there. He showed up. That's what God's about. Somebody needs you today. I want you to begin to invite people to come and be a part of our fellowship, because this is a great church and great people. And we need to share this with somebody, don't we? Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for teaching us and showing us and helping us to learn more about this word. Lord, we need leaders. You've called us all to be leaders. You've called us everyone to be a leader, to lead people to you. God, we pray and thank you so much for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, for being Miss Shirley when she fell that time. I thank you, Lord, as I look back over this congregation, and I've seen many, many of our seniors who have fallen or whatever, and you took care of them. God, I'm so glad that you watch us and you walk us through the valleys of life. And we're so glad that you're God in the valley and you're God on the mountaintop. Father, I pray that someone will be motivated today, and if nothing else, will just sit and think about what difference am I making? Because God, I don't want to be like Judas to sell you out. And I don't want to be like Martha to get wrapped all up in myself. And woe is me, why don't I get more attention? God, help us when we get in those moments and those times in our life when we're tempted to do those things. Help us to realize, God, that we have more to do than to focus on ourselves. Lord, we pray for the lost people. We pray, Lord, for the people that's in this community. We pray, Lord, for the people in this city. We pray, God, for the people that's in churches today that are hurting and no one cares and no one knows they're even there. We pray, God, that you will continue to give the leadership here at Northview wisdom and knowledge and direction on how we are to lead this body of Christ. To you we give honor and praise today, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we leave, won't you turn to the woman side of you and say, what's your motivation? Some of you just said, I'm hungry.